Tell me when I can start.
Okay,
this is a lecture on T-cell, lambs in T-cell, sketching potential. So
T-cell stands for?
Teaching English speakers of other languages. Let's go to the next slide. So a couple of key messages. Potential uses of lambs in T-cell. So this is basically the overview of the presentation. Just go through that, there's no sound. So we'll be looking at key messages, potential uses of lambs in T-cell, how it's underrepresented in T-cell. There doesn't seem to be much information on lambs in T-cell literature. Six key interrelated language skills. So we're looking at how lambs could be used to teach basic language skills. Very quickly, look at an example of IELTS and some ideas for implementation. Probably that section six is the section that is there's some quite relevant stuff there. Some new ideas maybe for an easy author function in LAMS. So here are some key messages. I see what you mean about turning like this and facing the audience. It's really underrepresented in T-cell. We'll be looking at this idea of a pre-while post sequence that could be used as a foundation template on which teachers might draw on their personal experience. This is an idea of utilising that personal experience that teachers have acquired. Also, LAMS appears to hold potential for product and process writing, and that's a really big area in any university. Writing skills, academic writing, EAP, English for Academic Purposes. There's an enormous potential there. A second key message is, I think, even though the new assessment tool in 2.3 it's got more functions than the multiple choice tool, I still think we might need to develop a special T-cell tool in the future. T-cell sequences can still be authored with many of the existing tools, but that's an area that needs to be developed, and we'll look at that later on. And also this idea of an easy author tool as a complement to activity planner could be combined with activity planner. So, quickly, some potential uses of LAMS in T-cell. The potential for the utilisation of LAMS, there are three basic areas that I identified. One is just as a complement to the textbooks that students use. You know, students do have their workbooks, but I think it would be really nice. The publishers of these textbooks don't seem to be doing this at all. They don't seem to be using management systems to back up their materials, and this is an enormous market, really. Millions and millions of students around the world are learning languages, English, obviously, the most important language. Another area could be supporting international exams like TOEFL, Cambridge ESOL exams. You've got there 3 million people in 130 countries take Cambridge ESOL exams. And LAMS could provide a really good support system for those students who currently use things like CDs or workbooks. It's very written-based kind of... another potential use is for backing up, just backing up normal degree courses, EAP courses, for example, this university in China, Chinese Central Radio and TV University, I think they have 1.2 million students studying English. I mean, it's like a massive market, and they're moving into technology, and I think they currently use radio and TV to teach the languages, and with the new development, this scale-up JBoss upgrade thing that's coming out in 2.4 with 1,000 concurrent learners, it seems like the right kind of thing for that country. So you've got those populous countries where you could use LAMS, and you've also got it for basically as a support activity for any university that teaches languages. Oh, it was there. Okay. So there are many tangible, pragmatic reasons to use LAMS, to support language use, to use LAMS in TESOL. So we'll be looking at six areas: vocabulary, grammar, listening, reading, writing, and speaking, and look at some of the issues. As I said, this is just sketching some of the issues. Sadly, applied linguistics has failed to present an effectual method for teaching languages. So there's masses of literature in applied linguistics, but really not no one's come along and proven, given us a proven method of learning languages, and anyone that speaks a second language will probably understand that it's a really complicated thing to speak a second language perfectly or to learn a second or third language.
What exactly is applied linguistics? Is that a particular...
That's a field of study, applied linguistics, yeah. It's like you study things like second language acquisition, pragmatics. It's a well-known field of study. So it's a complex area, learning languages. It's not a straightforward area. And the fact that it's a complex area is reflected in the number of approaches that have been developed over the years. And really, I would say all of them have failed. But there are some nice things in all these approaches, things that kind of resonated with teachers. And then they... if you think about the way you learnt languages yourself, your second language, because I can see many people here, speak, well, all of us here speak some second or third language. Some of you may have just done grammar practice, others maybe conversation, and you all have your ideas about how languages can be learnt and what's effective. But that varies according to country, according to culture. So it's a very complex area, but the main idea, these approaches have been transient. So the central tenet of LAMS use in TESOL should be the assumption that teachers striving to use LAMS to design lessons should do so in a way that they best feel facilitates learning. So they should draw on their tried and tested experience of teaching, and maybe possibly build on the ideas of other teachers or other academics. Quite an interesting slide in the sense that very little LAMS research is currently being done in applied linguistics, and the publication that came out very recently, I think that my first LAMS paper that got published really resonated with a lot of people. I had a lot of people sending me responses. But really, none of these journals here have any articles at all. And these are big journals, computer-assisted language teacher. These are language learning. These are the biggest journals in applied linguistics. And there are no LAMS articles there. It's very strange.
For sure there's something in Becta.
I'm sorry? I'm pretty sure Becta does reports on LAMS, and there are LAMS reports in Becta, of course, but not dedicated to language learning. There have been many Becta reports that have come out for LAMS, yeah. And the JISC reports as well. I mean, there's a lot of funded research there. Now, LAMS does not appear to be covered in modern core textbooks. Another thing, they talk about Moodle, they talk about WebCT, but nothing's mentioned with regard to LAMS. Why is that? It's also underrepresented on the online ESOL sites, English for Speakers of Other Languages. It's like there are masses of these sites out there. You can actually click on all these links, and they'll take you to the sites I've prepared. All these links are interactive, by the way. And LAMS really provides this means of structuring all the internet sites in a very multi-dimensional, creative group learning environment. So it seems very strange that no one is working on this. Assessing LAMS. Very quickly, LAMS, as we know, has got potential for assessing summative and formative assessments. So you've got the branching. The branching tool now is becoming more and more sophisticated, which gives a lot of potential for assessment. I'm just going to rush through these sequences in a way, because there are quite a lot of them. Vocabulary and LAMS. There are loads of internet sites out there that have loads and loads of thousands of activities online. Again, they're not structured, these activities. So they're just loads of separate internet sites. LAMS can provide a means of structuring those activities. It's a very complex area of study, learning vocabulary in a foreign language, and there are many theories of how to do that. Here's just one example of a typical English vocabulary, and many of the activities there are very interactive. And this is why I was suggesting that maybe the current assessment tool needs to be upgraded, or maybe a new TESOL tool should be developed, because you know there's a lot of animation in these activities, and you can click on this site and see. These are just two. There are so many of them. We know that shared resources provides a means of managing internet activities. We can see who's logged on, whether they've... We can't see how much time, I don't think, they've spent on an internet site, but we can see whether they've actually logged onto the site. That would be something interesting for the future to consider. But I'm actually against using internet sites in principle, because sometimes they disappear and sometimes they're not reliable and sometimes the content is not very, very well thought through. So I want to move away from that. Also, what do I have that? You can also embed codes on internet pages with the FCK editor, but a little bit more complicated to do that. This is the assessment tool, and we know about that. It's got more functions than the multiple choice tool. The short answer and long answer, I'm not quite sure how that can be assessed. It can't be assessed automatically, the long answer questions. The short answer questions, again, are good for certain subjects, but maybe not so much for TESOL because there are many options. You can't actually get in all the different variants for certain sentences. Hot Potatoes is a well-known authoring tool, but I think it's a little bit outdated now. And there are some other tools there for creating ESOL activities there as well. A tool that I'm using now is the Quizmaker in Articulate, and this is a really interactive tool. It's not currently compatible with LAMS, and I do hope... You can see it's got a lot of interactive options there. I think it's got branching tools as well, so... this is actually what Quiz Articulate looks like. And it's just an idea of how maybe assessment could be upgraded or how a TESOL tool in the future could look like. Articulate outputs in SCORM 1.2, SCORM 204, and you said, Ernie, that we'll have 1.2 compatibility in the next version, which is really good. There are some other formats that it publishes in there as well. We use the web format, the SWF format.
Who is
we? Sorry?
Who is we?
The University of Nicosia. When I create courses.
So you teach English?
Yeah, I'm a language teacher and an applied linguistics lecturer. Now, this is an idea of having pre, while, post activities. And this is how a teacher might draw on personal experience to have a pre-vocabulary task, which could be a chat, it could be a lesson introduction, while activity, where you'd need some kind of assessment tool, possibly new assessment tool there, and post activities. And this gives you kind of a template of how you could create a pedagogy for teaching vocabulary. Grammar and LAMS. Well, again, there are loads and loads of grammar sites out there, and I suggest that teachers draw on the experiences that they have. How's the time? 12:20. How much time have I got? I've got a clock here.
You've got another 10 minutes.
Another 10 minutes, good. Now, this idea, also the practice, present, practice, produce paradigm, there are three stages there, but I have a pre-paradigm stage there. We can have pre-activities, pre-grammar, pre-grammar chat, and a post stage after that. But the fluency part can only be done offline because how can you practice speaking, practice your spoken grammar currently in LAMS? It seems that that's something for the future to develop.
You could actually use the new video recorder thing.
Yeah, well, there are issues with the video recorder. I know you can, but it's not going to be good enough for communication at the moment. I don't think this is a restriction of LAMS. This is actually a problem of streaming and internet connection more.
You can also, in the video recorder, you can only allow not video, but just audio. And you can say, do not use video.
Yeah.
And audio would be available at a much...
Yeah, but I think there are loads of kind of things that happen when people speak that people react to. Another sequence I won't talk about is the observe hypothesis experiment cycle, which can also be done, but that has a branching concept, so that's almost a little bit like an adaptive kind of thing. Reading, listening, writing, speaking skills. I'm zooming through this a little bit because I know I'm going to run out of time, but reading is perfect skill for LAMS. You can have a pre-reading activities at the top there. While reading activities could be some kind of assessment.
So while means, does that insinuate that they will be reading outside LAMS?
No, for example, there could be some film prior to reading about the reading text. There could be some chat, there could be some activity that's prior to the reading. Then there's some text to read and some checking of the knowledge of that text and post-reading activities, voting whether you liked it, some post-reading discussion.
So effectively the while reading is the reading activity.
Yeah, it's the reading part, yeah. Which could be an activity like an assessment. Another thing that we can do, use the same kind of pre, while, post, is for testing listening. I mean, then we've got more options with listening. We can embed recordings into LAMS. We've got Articulate as well. We can do things with that. We may need to develop some kind of tool, assessment tool for listening as well, to make it more make it easier to have sound and have activities together. These are some interesting listening sites to give you an idea of the kind of interactivity that exists now in TESOL. So you can click on any one of those and see what the level, the standard now is in TESOL. But these are not managed. They need to be put into a management system, really. Now, product writing, process writing, enormous potential for this in universities. One idea is the product approach, which is probably the most popular in English for academic purposes. Every university does this, really, where you can have stages. Stage one, read model text. You can have some kind of controlled practice, maybe with a more developed assessment tool. Organization of ideas later on, and submission of final product. Obviously, the improved submit file tool would help there in the future, where the teacher can correct the work and send back the corrected assignment to the student. The process writing is more interactive, and this is even better for LAMS, because LAMS has got a lot of the chat tools, has got the forum discussion, and there's a lot of exchange of student ideas in the creation of this process writing, process focused writing approach.
Is that screenshots of your session, your sequences?
Yeah, they are screenshots of what a sequence could be like. Speaking now, this is a problem area because we don't have a tool to practice speaking, and hopefully when the internet connection improves in the future, that could be there. And if that happens, I think that will really affect TESOL a lot, because I think we're all waiting for some kind of speaking tool, online speaking tool. I know we have DimDim, but there are problems with DimDim. there are license issues. You can only have 20 users, and it's quite expensive, DimDim, and it's a little bit complicated to install and to use for students, and they seem to
get. Are you familiar with the work of Jack Musto from Carnegie Mellon that work on software that listens to kids talking and then help them and ask and train them in reading?
Yes, pronunciation exercises are possible, and there is potential to practice pronunciation, but really you need a teacher to listen.
No, I'm talking about an automated system, but basically intelligent system that listens to kids reading and then help you to understand what
okay, I haven't seen that, but I'm immediately skeptical that whether it would work. Now, why practice language skills separately? Like, here is an example of IELTS, where reading, writing, vocabulary, listening are separate skills. IELTS is a very well-known test in Australia and New Zealand as well. So it's an international examination. So really, this is the most important part of the presentation. Sorry. Now, this study in 2005, the Russell studies, this table kind of stands out for me, that one institution out of all the institutions that created sequences created half the sequences in the study. So, and also some of the studies like Masterman, Lee, the new Levy et al. Study, I think the GISC study, they talk about reporting lower than expected numbers of sequences created, as if the act of creating a sequence is a problem, or even that first sequence. And then there are issues of support with Larry Lard, Walker, and Masterman. There's a lot of literature that's now coming out and is being published that suggests that there's problems with supporting people and lower than expected numbers of sequences created. If we move on, we might find an explanation for this. At the top is my idea, is a skilled LAMS teacher representative materials upload in EDA. This is what we do at the University of Nicosia, that we actually, it's almost impossible to train staff, because the system is developing and changing so quickly that we have a problem with motivating staff to actually learn how to use all the new tools. The Stage one, suggested foundation template. Here it could be the pre, while, post-activity template, which could be good for things like reading, vocabulary, and so forth, as I stated. You can have a pre-activity, choose your tools there, your post-activity tools, draw on your personal experience about what might work with your students, and use an assessment tool or a specially designed assessment tool. But stage three seems to be the difficult part. It seems to be the actual creation of sequence to the required level. It seems very difficult. So I actually do a lot of the creating the sequences myself for other lecturers in the university, because this is the quickest way to get things done. The fourth stage of actually sharing and reusing the sequences is not such a problem. It's the point at the bottom, they're authoring the presentation of lesson materials in a graphically cutting-edge way. That's why I asked you in your presentation. It's really good, but who's going to do the work? Now, this slide leads on to the next slide. Here are some of the new tools that have come into operation just from LAMS 2.21 to LAMS 2.3, I think. So really, it's an enormous development. In a very short period of time, you've got all the tools there to the left. You've got improvement of some of the functions of the tools to the right there. And you've also got some of these really really cool features. I really like the idea of the support materials. That's a really cool idea. I like the time. The presence is a nice idea. The instant messaging is not such a good idea because it seems that it might encourage some students to cheat in multiple choice tests, but there are loads of ideas that are coming out of LAMS, but is this making it harder to actually support and motivate staff to use it? Also, I think the colour scheme, this is quite an interesting point. I don't think the colour scheme now, it's nice to have colours, but I don't know how useful they now are, and I don't know how useful the idea of, say, this is a reflective tool, where clearly question and answer is also collaborative, and a chat, a forum, can also be informative. And share resources can be collaborative. So these ways of segregating and the tools and saying that's that and that's that are having enormous implications for pedagogy and training. This is why I kind of came up with this simpler idea. I call it Easy Author, and it's an idea that TESOL teachers, and it may be relevant to anyone using LAMS, but I was thinking of TESOL teachers more than anything else, where you actually have generic tools with drop-down menus. For example, Teacher Talk Tool is a generic tool. I would add their articulates to that Teacher Talk Tool. You could have Notice Board, but I would even replace Notice Board now with Articulate Studio because it's does a lot more now. Dim-dim-like kind style, but not necessarily dim-dim. You have a student interaction tool, interact tool, so you can put some of those interactions there. Other activities tool, assessment tool, possibly a new TESOL tool in the future. And this is some area that I think is not being developed and something for the future, student-teacher interact tool. And it's not something that that I'm sure you've thought of that. It's something that maybe it's limited by what's technologically possible. But that is something that is very natural in the classroom, and there has to be some kind of development in the future to make up for that loss. So those five generic tools could actually then be used as the building blocks for creating new for creating templates, and that has implications for pedagogic planning, because you can then, as I said there, the drop and drag template could optionally be converted into an activity planner worksheet to be completed with content as preview. So it draws on invaluable context specific EFL teaching knowledge. It's simpler in the fact you don't have so many tools to choose from, so it may be easier to train lecturers to use. So that is kind of, I think that's probably the most important slide in terms of innovation for the future. Now, ideas for Activity Planner, well, I talked about the present, practice, produce for grammar, practice, observe, hypothesis, experiment for grammar, process, product writing, and it has enormous potential. I'm really optimistic about how LAMS can be used to develop those writing skills. And pre-while, post-segments for individual language skills. You can even use a task-based approach or build your own sequence using Easy Editor, with new TESOL tool and Easy Editor. So, yeah, and that's more or less it. I don't think I've got time to show the, because it's 12:30, articulate, but I don't have time.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I got I don't know if this would be of any help or not, but one of the things that we've been discussing for a while is in the authoring tool you have a list of tools on the left hand side, yeah?
So
ideally what we would
the new tools.
Yeah, but okay, so those would be the
these tools. Are the new ones that have come out.
But what I'm saying is that you see, at the moment, you basically get a bunch of, but you know, the more tool we have, the longer that thing gets. Yeah. But effectively, one of the things that people have suggested is that according to whatever you want to teach, yeah, like say for instance, TESOL in this case,
yeah,
you would actually have a subset of only tools that are effective for what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I think it's difficult to go down that road because you never know. I mean, obviously, you're not going to use the Pixlr if you're teaching maths, probably, possibly. You're not going to be using the image editor if you're teaching accountancy. That's true, but I think the colour scheme now, it's nice to have colours, but I don't know how useful they are. And we also got to look at the literature that's telling us, these big reports are saying lower than expected number of sequences produced. So they start a project saying they think they're going to produce 50 sequences and the project produces 20. So the support issues. I mean, you've got loads of papers now. Walker, for example, the master, you know, they've got papers coming out that saying more support, support groups, you know, communities of practitioners. And I think we've got to listen to that and think about how useful the colour scheme is now, and maybe simplify it into generic, more generic tools. And I mean, I'm from the TESOL. I mean, this is maybe relevant to all sequences, all subjects. But I think with TESOL, the lecturers will resonate with this idea of teacher talk, student interact, other activities, assessment. Because you can then, I'm going to talk, I'm going to get them to do an activity. There's going to be some assessment, you know, some monitoring, some face to face. Skype is one option, but it's not anywhere near what I see the future for teacher student interact in the future. So,
but wouldn't it be easier to have a toolbox and just make the sidebar there as little tools that you normally are using? Because teacher will normally use a certain set of tools. Mm. And if they could design the slider there with both color and tools by themselves, that would solve it.
Well, as I said,
because you would most probably use, let's say, 60-70% of the tools available, the other 40-50 won't use available.
The literature suggests that. It's still suggesting that notice board, forum, shared resources, may possibly chat, are the tools that are being used. And even though that more tools have been created, most teachers are still sticking with those tools because I think they're thinking in this very generic way that, oh, I'm going to have a notice board because that's like teacher talk. I'm going to have a student interact tool, so that's like possibly forum. But really, they're thinking at a generic level of pedagogy, and we're breaking things down into very small components, and that's confusing the teacher, possibly the pedagogy. And this might make things simple. I think the move now has got to be to simplify the author environment visually. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things with the colours in particular is that at times, as you very well point out, is difficult to figure out whether one tool actually fits in one or the other thing. Yeah, for instance, there's people that use forum for assessment. Yeah.
Yeah.
So effectively, at the moment, forum is an interactive tool. But if you want to use it for the purpose of assessment, then it's an assessment tool.
Yeah. Another issue is that some tools may have been collaborative, and they've become like maybe assessment. I'm thinking of the shared resources. Now, shared resources is always
it has been what we call a content tool.
Yeah, but it's also very, very collaborative because
if you allow to.
Yeah, I know, but it's got the function there.
Yeah.
So you've got some. I think some tools could evolve into different things. So I think we've got to question whether these the idea of reflection, informative, collaborative, evaluative is very relevant now. Mm. And is it confusing for teachers? So
can I go back? Can you go to the slide where you have the new sort of way of representing, like the next one?
Yeah. Yeah.
So student interact, other activity tools is basically everything else, right?
Yeah, I mean, student interact is the idea is there is that something that students would do by themselves, but they can do it with the teacher as well. But question and answer is clearly an interact tool because they can share their responses with all the students in the group, and that's the way most people would use that tool.
Cool.
Yeah. So we're going to have lunch.
I think everyone wants to go.
Thank you. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.